I try and cut out all the bits where I talk shit, so that's why the podcasts usually aren't that long. Breaking news from inside the house. The wife's just eating my ice cream. God damn.
Oh, are you kidding?
Divorce coming next week.
Oh, shit.
Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out with a pouring old man. This is episode 39, maybe? God, I've lost count. I've been doing too many numbers this week. I can't work out where we're at. So let's just run with 39. If not, we'll just edit it later. Joining me on this episode of the Pouring Old Man Podcast is my very own Ned Flanders, just with less religion and more facial hair. It's Chris from next door.
Hey, mate, how you going?
Mate, nailed that first time perfectly.
Yeah, you did well.
Honestly, if you want like a modern-day tongue twister, say just with less religion. That sounds
hectic.
It felt hectic. Anyway, I'll edit all this out so it sounds seamless. Anyway.
Imagine life with a bit of less religion.
Yeah. Oh, we're not getting on that subject anyway. So through the wonders of technology, we bring you the Pouring Old Man Podcast lockdown special. We've got long cables, a couple of mics, hooped over the fence. Yeah, we're not allowed visitors, so we're kind of yard to yard kind of thing, which is difficult. Like, I've got quite an elevation compared to yours. Like,
yeah, it's a fair drop, isn't it? It's got what, 2 meters, 3 meters?
It's like I'm Mufasa looking over the shadowy place. So,
oh, I was going
Simba,
with that.
don't go there. This is what I tell my children. So they say, Dad, what's that place next door? My children.
That's Chris's place.
That's a shadowy place. You must never go past the fence.
And for yous at home, guys, if you can remember Home Improvement, all I can see is Russell with his bucket hat on. He looks like Wilson over the fence. I can just see eyes with a headset.
I don't even know what his voice was. The only thing I remember from Home Improvement is... and then one of the kids got cancer. That's about it.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. Anyway, so what's been happening, mate?
I was just going to say, there's one episode of Home Improvement, and the marketing really, really annoyed me with it, because I think it's in New Zealand anyway. They're going so for very special Home Improvement episode. One of the kids gets really sick, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
once, the laughter stops. It's like, and you watch the episode, and it's just a normal episode. A good head of cancer scan was fine at the end. But the laughter didn't stop at all. They still had this live studio audience, still making stupid jokes and still laugh track. It's like, this is a special episode.
You got me, bastards. Marketing 101.
So unless I thought it was just going to be a shit episode, no one's going to laugh at any of the jokes, which would just be a normal episode of Home Improvement anyway.
Because I had that like heartthrob kid. What was his name? Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Yeah, yeah. There's a Lion King reference there as well. So we're keeping it all. It was the voice of Simba.
Get fucked.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
I think so. Now I'm doubting myself.
No? Oh, let's roll with it.
I think he was the voice of young Simba. Yeah. And then...
that makes sense, actually.
Yeah. And Matthew Broderick was the voice of old Simba.
Really?
Then you know that.
No.
Have you heard... I've mentioned this on the podcast before, my other Lion King fact.
Yeah, right.
Is that Simba has the same parents as Eddie Murphy in Coming to America.
Holy shit, mind blowing. I remember that.
Yeah. So James Earl Jones, and I forget the actress's name. They do the voices of Mufasa and Nairobi, I think it is. Simba's parents. And yeah, they're also Coming to America. And I guess Coming to America, the sequel, which I haven't actually watched.
Actually, I have.
Have you?
It's like the same old jokes recycled.
Yeah,
that's
what I thought. The trailers kind of look like that, with the fact that, hey, remember this joke? How it was funny 20 years ago? Let's try it again.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Let's roll it. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I could smell money. That's all it was.
Eddie's desperate, mate.
Do anything.
They stopped making Shrek movies.
And he's got no access to Laker cheerleaders anymore.
You should just do another Beverly Hills Cop, honestly.
Oh, you know what? That would be a cash.
That would kill.
Yeah.
That would kill.
I'd actually go and see that. I love them. All three of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the third one. The third one's average.
Hang on. Was the third one the theme park one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was shit.
Yeah, that was pretty. Yeah. That was the cash grab back then.
That was the cash grab of cash grabs. That was the textbook of cash grabs for future movies to come.
We're just getting right off topic here.
Yeah.
Again, we haven't actually hit a topic yet, so
we're trying to find one.
We're like sharks circling, mate. We start off wide. We're kind of getting closer and closer. And they should do it. So that Eddie Murphy's like the chief of police or something like that. So he's the angry black cop kind of thing. And he's the head. And he comes in and like does it that way, rather than just being the normal street cop.
Yeah, but piss funny though.
Yeah, exactly.
But like they're taking coppers
because if they still have him
coming through,
they still have him as like, you know, the cop comes to LA and you know he's still the same guy. That'd just be boring. But if they change his character, so he's done really well back in Detroit,
and
he's gone through the ranks. Now he's like the chief of police or whatever. So that'd be cool.
You know, the shit part, if they do remake it, I guarantee you'll have Kevin Hart and The Rock in it.
Oh yeah, that's 100%. That's the only way it gets greenlit.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. Oh man,
they'll be selling the picture, girl. This and that. You're still not sold. Well, we'll put on The Rock.
Yeah.
I'm listening. And Kevin Hart, sold.
It's happening. It is happening. Anyway, how's homeschooling going?
It's a rough start. Yeah. The first lesson was, like, you know, identify the noun groups in this passage. They had to quickly, you do that, kids, and I'll just quickly Google what is a noun group. I can't remember if I've got taught this at school, and I certainly haven't used it since school anyway. I just I just use words. I don't care what sort of words they are, what category they're in, just as long as they sort of make sense.
Exactly.
Or if I can edit them in a way that makes them make sense.
But what's a noun group? Yeah, I don't know what a noun is.
In general, like, homeschool's gone all right. Like, you know, they and it's normally done by like 12:30. So
You have that problem too.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. So I'm sitting there going, can't be. And they're like, no, I'm done. And you check it, and it's like, you are done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think it was Tuesday morning, I got the first, Dad, it's time for a break. I'm like, it is actually 9 o'clock. You started school 15 minutes ago. Well, the sheet says, time for a brain break. And I'm like, this is this thing?
Yeah, there'll be a brain break after everything. Yeah, after everything. You haven't used your brain yet.
You counted three things up.
But I've taught my kids during school time. They don't call me Dad. They call me Sir.
Oh, that's clever.
Sir. Yeah, yes.
Well, if things don't change, they're going to be wearing a uniform next week. I'm going to make sure they get dressed.
Yeah. Well, that's a big thing that we do. Make sure they no school in pajamas. So they got to get dressed. Get ready for school. Blah, 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 blah. But, there's... I might be alone in this. I don't mind it, to be honest. It's a bit of fun actually interacting with the kids for once. Like, it's one of the things, getting all sentimental here.
Yeah.
The big lockdown last year is one of the things I actually enjoy, is spending time with the family kids and doing stuff like that.
Yeah,
so, and I know, you know, the kids were actually excited for me to be their teacher again. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'm glad you get to share, because I know, like, obviously we have two different lifestyles. Like, obviously you work, like, I'm at home, and when lockdown happens, it's like, fuck. And you're like, yeah. And it's I'm like, yes, fuck. You know?
Now, you've been homeschooled. You've been doing running the homeschooling.
Yeah.
Right. Your wife's a teacher.
Yes.
So what have you done to annoy her so much she doesn't want to teach her own kids?
Well, funny story. I was thinking that today. I was sitting there going, like, this is interesting. You know, like, Sally's pretty busy. But mind you, she's in there in the curriculum somewhere. So she is. I've listened to her. Like, she'll teach as well as running a department as such or whatever she does.
Mm.
So, she's flat out. She's literally as busy as a one-armed bricklayer in Baghdad. But she tries. You can see me getting frustrated. And she'll be like on a Zoom call with like the principal saying, hang, I've got to hang five. I've got to, you know, sort my kids out. Oh, yeah, no worries, Sally. So she's got the teacher's ears in the background of the teacher's ears, if that makes sense.
Yep, fair enough.
It's, but you do feel inferior. Emasculated. Yeah. I've got the Jedi Master over in the other room just critiquing everything that I'm doing. You don't get frustrated at all. You can't put them in time out.
The highlight of the school week was you got involved with this one. Mini Olympics is the last.
Oh, that was funny.
The last subject of the school week was Mini Olympics. There's one had to like run 10 laps around our backyard. Now our backyard is the size of like two pool tables pushed together. Basically,
still bigger than mine.
Yeah, it's tiny. So it's a short course. I set them 10 laps around our backyard, and it took them I think 1:05. Then there's a hurdles event, so I had a couple of
kidding.
Yeah, so a couple of the plastic things from the playhouse out there.
We
set up there, so I had to like jump over there, come back, and then we had the discus, which is just for throwing paper plates.
Then we
inserted in the javelin, so we made paper planes and threw them over at Chris's house.
Yeah, they're actually pretty what's the word? They're good-looking planes, anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
Well put together. Well handcrafted.
It came in handy. Like, they previous Christmas, not last year, but the year before, we got the kids this paper plane day-to-day calendar.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, hey, like 360 odd bloody, well, it's less than that because there's weekends combined. So I know how many days of the year there are.
Yeah.
370 something.
You're good at math.
Yeah.
It's Sunday a day.
Yeah, so we had all these like those paper planes. And so my routine during the first lockdown was every morning I'd wake up, have a coffee, and I'd make a few paper planes. It was like my sort of zen thing.
Yeah, that's
and so I had a few leftovers, so we utilised them for javelin and hurf them over the back fence.
Mate, there was some goings on those things. Like, yeah, like they were impressive planes. That's an interesting thing, though. A coffee and an aeroplane.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like to switch off. Like people normally have... Like they wake up and go for a shit and watch TikTok. You're making coffees and building planes.
Well,
so
yeah.
I suppose I water the garden.
Yeah. I needed mental stimulation, so that. And also, have you ever played GeoGuessr?
Oh, is that the thing on Google where you got to work out where it is in the world?
Yeah. And I've got back into it during this lockdown as well. You know, it sends you somewhere in the world and you've got to work out where you are.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I used to
do that in my banking days.
Really?
Like when, pretending to do something.
If anyway. My computers at work were any good, I'd probably do it there, but they're too shit to run it. Oh, so
yeah, good old pub computers.
They struggle to run Facebook at times. So
they're on dial-up still.
It's not far off.
I know when you send me the messages and it's like you send me this message out of context and then 5 minutes later a photo turns up. I'm like,
oh, that's just the Wi-Fi is so slow. Yeah, I've got to give the photo a 5 minute heads up before I send a message about the photo. So the message still arrives first. So.
Yeah, it's all timing.
Just imagine it arriving on your phone like the old 80s dial-up with, like 4 pixels at a time. Ding, ding, ding. Anyway, who are we? We are the Boring Old Men. Just a couple of old-timers sitting on the back porch talking about the beers we love. We release fresh episodes of the show into the wild every Tuesday morning on all your favourite podcast services. If you like what you hear, be sure to give us a like, a rating, a review, and tell all your friends. If you don't like us, well, just tell a damn lie. All right, so we crack into Inglourious Bear Snacks first.
Yeah.
What have you got? You got something here for us?
Yeah, I've gone and found it in the random middle aisle of Aldi.
Yep.
So any of you guys that are accustomed to Aldi in Australia, you have that infamous middle aisle. And so they've got this Japanese theme happening.
Right.
With Kewpie mayos and
all
that sort of stuff. So anyway, so I found these things that I thought they were peanuts. They're called Curry Curry, also K-A-R-Y. Yeah. Japanese style premium snacks, and
so these are full of pep.
Yep, they're full of pep. So, go, Russell. Do the honors.
These are quite crunchy as well. So this is going to be an audio delight for you all.
Oh, here we go. What do they call it? Muck bag.
Not bad, actually.
Mate, they're fucking crunchy. I can hear that over here.
Yeah, they're pretty crunchy.
Yeah, have another bite. I just want to see what it actually does with the audio. Like, it
does have a bit of pep. There's a bit of lingering spice to that.
Is it?
Yeah,
I'm a bit scared. I'm gonna wait for the exciting brews that we have to complement together. I think that they're gonna work well. that mukbang. Have you seen that? Them Japanese people that chew into the microphone.
Oh yeah, is it like ASMR?
That's it. But I think I just see it mukbang on TikTok, and they go to
smorgasbords and just like pick it up,
and then like just picking up all the sounds, and it's fucking disgusting. Like one thing I hate is chewing noises, or people, that excessive chewing, but not the crunchy one. It's more the sloppy one. It's just one of those things. Apparently, it's a disorder. It's a real thing.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but my wife was telling me about it. She said it is a fucking disorder, and like things like Ted Bundy and stuff like that used to kill people over that.
Wow.
I can't verify that.
Yeah.
Okay. But it sounded good.
You said Ted Bundy. My brain immediately went to Al Bundy.
Al Bundy with his hands.
He killed
his
Peggy.
I killed Peggy for chewing celery. anyway.
But yeah, so that's our Inglourious Bear Snacks.
Yeah.
Which also has the Instagram page up now. We've got
it does.
Inglourious Bear Snacks on Instagram, so check that one out.
But a big thing is we want you guys to actually send us what you have with beer.
Yes.
That's the big one. We want to see, as a community, what you eat with your beer.
I want to expand my knowledge of what to have with beer.
Correct.
The reason why I got into craft beer is because I've got a curious palate. I want to try new things. And craft beer, there's endless supply of new things. And snacks are always the same. New flavor or something, I'm in.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like that too. Yeah. And so, speaking on that, what do you reckon is the craziest thing that you've drunk or eaten?
Crickets.
Crickets? Where were you?
I was in the UK working for the Walkabout. Aussie.
Something King. Doesn't match up there. Crickets, Walkabout, UK.
I'll get to it. Yeah. And so, yeah, at the Walkabout, they actually had Bush Tucker on the menu. And they said crocodile, kangaroo, emu again, like I said, the last one.
Yeah.
They had that on there. And they had this big like university party, they're celebrating, like they wanted to have like get wild on the menu. And so they had like, you know, emu skewers and stuff like that. They even had like springbok as well from South Africa and stuff.
Yeah, wow.
And they wanted to really find something weird. And so they found somewhere where you can get like crickets that were bred to be eaten.
In the UK?
Yeah. And so this wild food place. And so they got, I think it arrived in the mail or got right from courier and just opened up and there's like these vacuum sealed pouches full of crickets. It was like, if you have a phobia for insects, this would be like a nightmare. Open that.
So we're talking like an A4 size, like bag.
Yeah, a Cryovac A4 size. And there's a couple of them in there. So, oh, okay.
Wow.
And so you chuck them in a deep fry and you just fry the shit out of them.
Nothing extra, just on its own.
You pull them out and then you throw some like, you know, like salt like and pepper and stuff. You know, mainly just salt.
Just straight out of the cryovac. Yep.
Into a deep fry. Crisp them up. Got to be crispy. You do not, I repeat, do not want a squishy one. I had, when we were testing that, I was like, no, squishy.
No, can't do it.
But yeah, nice and crispy. And honestly, it's like having one of these like peanuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, one of those peanuts there and you bite it, it's all crispy, except occasionally you get a leg stuck in your teeth and... But they weren't bad. Like,
right.
It was like eating a nut. It was just like, you know.
Just crunchy.
Just like, crunchy, like salty.
Like folded chips. You know, chips, the crisps that you get folded.
Yeah. Stuff like that. You just got to get past the idea of what it is.
Yeah, right.
And then just once you do it, it's fine.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
That's a great story. UK, crickets, Walkabout pub.
Yeah.
And you're a Kiwi.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's like the Australian dream living in the Southeast Asia. But you're a Kiwi. The NRL, the last 2 weeks, I've literally done my ass.
Yeah, at one point last week, I think after three games, I was none from three.
Oh, really?
I went Cowboys over Broncos.
Yeah, yeah.
I went Tigers over Warriors because after the Warriors like let, you know, two of us a check and someone else go home. They're done. They've given up for the year.
Yeah. It's funny to say because every footy show is just like, you've literally just laid on the sword for the year.
Yeah, well, they've lost
the world.
They've lost six games in a row and thought, you know what? We're done.
We're fucking done.
Rog, see you later, mate. You're done.
Might as well forfeit and go back to New Zealand.
Exactly. Yeah. Just give everyone like plus 20 for the game.
For the kids.
Yeah. And we're sweet. But so no one expected to win that. And then what's the other one? The Roosters and the Eels.
Yes.
Normally, I don't look at odds and stuff like that, but I just wanted to see what the games were. Okay, so Roosters, Eels. So and
the Eels were favourites.
It was like $1.40 favourite, and the Roosters paying like $4. So, okay, I haven't seen the team list. Obviously, something's going on there. Tipped the Eels, and they,
beaten.
They tipped over.
Yeah. What was it? It was like 26-0 or something.
Yeah, 28-0,
like. Something like that. But that's what it's been like. You know what I mean? It's either a blowout or nothing at all. Blowout, nothing at all.
Yeah.
And obviously my South Sydney Rabbitohs, it's like, fuck, doing my head in.
You just never know what they're going to do.
Oh, like, they're losing in the first 5 minutes, they stack 50 points on time.
The only thing that's predictable this year is that Melbourne's going to win.
To be honest, I think I'm with you there. I think so. Like,
about 4 or 5 weeks ago, it was them or Panthers. I think Panthers got a few injuries, they got a few problems, so I think.
Yeah, but they're burning out like the Roosters did last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you
caught
much of the Olympics now? I know we talked about this last week.
All the good stuff's gone. So I've got little bits.
You gotta look for on the app. There's the hidden gems. I found a hidden gem last night.
Mate, you're building this up.
I found a hidden gem. I was going through, and there's all the normal stuff. Ah, cycling. There's like some weird cycling thing that made no sense. Water polo or something like that, and all this equestrian stuff. And there's sport rock climbing. I thought, ooh,
sport rock climbing.
Sport rock. First time in the Olympics. Sport climbing is in the Olympics.
Sport climbing.
Yes.
Sport climbing. That's what it's called. Sport climbing.
Sport climbing. And there's three different types of rock climbing. This is the combined one. I thought, oh,
Okay, this is interesting.
That's interesting. I missed the speed one. The speed one's the most simple one. Then you've seen the X Games, if you've seen it, is like side by side going up this
wall. Yeah, they go flat like Spider-Man. They go
boop, 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 5 seconds, done. Right. I got a part that's called bouldering.
Okay.
And this is, it's like the more strategic and puzzle type of rock climbing. So they present you this weird wall of, so you got, so a place to start.
Yeah.
You got to maneuver yourself over to, up to like, there's a zone. You got to get there.
So they say like top right.
Yeah. And you go up there and then up to the top.
Yeah.
And there's limited holds, small holds, like 3 centimeter hold. You got to hold your whole body weight on there, that sort of stuff. And
I can't do
there's
that.
Like, you know, there's, platforms that are on a like 35 degree angle from the wall, and they've got to like run over that and catch and work away. So and they get like a couple of minutes at the start to look at each of the walls to say this is what it is, so they can strategize and where they're going to go. Yeah, it's fascinating. It's so cool. And
I was waiting for the fascinating bits.
Yeah, no, and just them trying to work out and
honestly, that's the bit you're captivated by. It's the bit like
the, well, just the whole thing. Like they, and then they get the individual pass, so they come out. And so for the bouldering, they come out with like a couple of brushes on like pool cues, basically, and all this other stuff.
Yeah, right.
And so they got 4 minutes to first get to the zone area and then get to the top.
Okay, that's not bad. So where you going with it.
And it's based on getting to those areas
and
how many attempts. So there's no actual time limit. It's just how many attempts you made. Yeah. So if you fail 3 times, but you get to the top, so you topped it, you got the zone, and you made 3 attempts.
So it's like Ninja Warrior versus Gladiator.
It's like a Thinking Man's.
Is it Gladiators? Big Gladiators at all? Well,
it's more the Thinking Man's Ninja Warrior, because they and they call each wall a puzzle, and so look at the puzzle and work out what they're going to do, and they make the courses designed to test a certain aspect of rock climbing. And so one might be just, you basically got to run and jump athleticism sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's one at the end that's like a weird spiral one. And there's pure strength. The starting position, you're upside down.
Wow.
You're upside down, you're climbing. I was like, wow, that's
stop
amazing.
It. Yeah. Oh, man.
So that was the bouldering one. And then afterward, they had the lead rock climbing. So, you see normal rock climbers and they've got the lead and hooking up all the carabiners and with the ropes.
Like you see in the Hollywood movies.
Yeah. But it's that, but in sport version. So, there's
so it's going to be a spoiler in Max.
Pretty much. all wearing spandex and stuff. But, yeah. So they to go up, and as they go up the wall, there's a certain course they kind of have to go. That's where the holds are.
Yeah.
But there's whatever holds they want to swing themselves up, and they're hanging by one arm on some of them, and using, it looks like they're dislocating their ankles to squeeze between holds to carry on. It's insane. Just watching these guys do it is so impressive.
Okay, like, and I go kind of on a Saturday after one beer and bust my knee. These guys are building.
And it's all based on the number of moves up the wall you have. So each time you get to a new hold, that's you've gone up another move, and it's whoever gets the furthest up. Only I think it's 8 guys, only one of them got to the very top. This is how hard it was.
Who thinks of this shit?
Oh, mate,
it sounds interesting though.
They've been doing it for I thought that was just a new thing. They've been doing it for like 100 odd years.
Well, suppose when you think about it, like when you actually go to like a new build or a new climb or something like that, they go somewhere.
Yeah.
It's not like they just turn up and everything's highlighted for them to grab.
No.
They've got to work it out.
Yeah. So for this one, they have like course designers and they specifically target certain things.
Yeah.
And so they've gone through and put it together and, they're trying to make it hard, but not so hard that no one does it. But then, they've got to push the limits and stuff. And it was really fascinating.
Yeah. But anyway, don't we do something else? Are we missing something, are we? Or are we going straight into beer?
What have you been drinking?
That's the one.
So?
Yeah.
What have you been drinking?
Well, lots.
Funny that during a lockdown.
Yeah. I think we've had a bit of interest around the Zytho Brewing Velvet Lux Stout.
Yeah.
It's become a bit of a conversation topic. Not good, not bad, but it's very...
Look, and I put a post on Pouring Old Russ Instagram.
Yeah.
It sounded more negative than what it wanted to be. I was just trying to
write
an essay on Instagram, which is...
I think we need to give it some more context.
Yeah. So, was it Lux... Yeah, so it's Velvet Lux Stout from Zytho Brewing. Now, I did some research. I was curious. Now, who is Zytho Brewing? They are...
It's funny, sir. Before you get into it, someone else actually asked the same question on a toxic beer site tonight.
Really?
Yeah, and I tagged you in it.
Mm.
Just
because before I went into it, I had this... There's just something about it to me that screams it's a private label for like either Woolies or Coles or someone. Like, it's not an actual craft brewery.
Yeah.
There's just something about it. It's just so... It's just everything's so obvious. Like same with
like, it's like marketing 101.
And I look at that and it just reminded me of like the tinny stuff as well. I was like, okay, they just followed a template for marketing craft.
Yeah, rinse and repeat.
So just okay, and it turns out that's exactly what it was. Like I was spot on with it. And as far as being, because this is my issue, I didn't mind it so much until you said the reason why it's brewed is why it's cheap.
Yeah, it was $16 a four pack.
But is it that cheap? Because
no, then you put something else. Because then
I
mentioned
that I brought this week All In Brewing, Clockwork Porter.
Yes, correct.
$18 a four pack,
which is great value.
Which is really good value.
Yeah,
and that is an amazing beer. Yeah, like again, no frills, nothing fancy. It's about I think 5%, maybe 6%.
Yeah,
it's just a straight laced porter, and it is fantastic.
Correct.
Whereas this one is. It's just very by the numbers. And even then, like I said to you, my biggest problem with it was the colour.
It
didn't seem like a stout. It was like a dark brown ale rather than a stout. So the colour wasn't there. The flavour's a bit wishy-washy. And it's what you expect from a cheap beer, but it just wasn't cheap enough to be a cheap beer.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. It didn't have that bold bit of finish like a stout.
No.
But it had a smooth polish like a porter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just, it ticked boxes. It was designed by a spreadsheet that this is what we need, this is what we'll sell it for, and we'll send it out.
It's for the masses.
Yeah.
For the crafty drinker, it's not crafty enough.
Yeah. Which, again, if this was, even drop it down to like $12 a four pack, maybe $13 a four pack sort of thing.
15 stretching it. Yeah.
15 stretching it, that's only a dollar down from where it is, but it's got to be like cheap. Or if it's going to be $15 for like a six pack or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's got to be real cheap. There's just other beers that aren't that much more that are far better. And
if that was independent,
even though I don't go on about, buy independent, but you know,
if it's good, it's good. Yeah. But if this was like positioned on a shelf right next to All In and their porter at the same price point, surprise, surprise, guess what I'm going to be grabbing? The All In.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're all in for that.
Yeah. I'm all in for that. Even though these have these big organisation backing it. All In do some cracking beers.
Oh, absolutely.
Though. Yeah. I like they'd make a great pale ale and everything sort of comes off the end of it. So, anyway, another one I think we should mention is White Lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when it was announced that lockdown's coming, so shit. I need beer. all the good beer is more than 10 kilometres from my house.
Yeah, correct.
So I quickly had to do a mad dash. I got someone to come to work early just so I could duck out from work. Duck out to a good bottle shopping. And I also went by White Lies. And I picked up two of their beers. We've got Anarchy and the OAK.
Yep.
Which is a cherry, vanilla, oat stout, I think. Yeah, beer or stout. It's like 10% or something like that.
Yeah.
But the other one thing that you want to talk about is the...
the milk and six sugars.
Yeah, milk and six sugars, thanks.
Oh,
which
man.
Is their Imperial Coffee Stout. Which, and it hits well. It hits hard. Like, I picked up, there's like 4.7 standard drinks in a can. Like, I've had this dilemma a few times when you go through the fridge. You know, first beer of the day, I just want to have something fresh and just something so I can still, like, you know, walk to the table for dinner. Like, I don't want to be legless before supper time.
Well, you had that problem last week.
I'm just not that guy. And then I was going through that whole lot. The two White Lies, they were like 4 points on the standard drinks. There's something else with four. I was like, God damn it.
Because you had the Pirate Life too, didn't you?
Yeah, I had the Pirate Life. That was, again, I think it's like, that was 11%.
Yeah. It's like your fridge was stacked last weekend.
And not only are the big alcohol, the big cans as well.
Yeah,
so.
All 400, 500.
But anyway, Imperial Coffee Stout Porter from White Lies, and they were really good.
Really good. So do yourselves a favour. I think, do they sell online?
No.
No, they don't.
They don't sell online. It's hard to get. It's hard to know what they're actually selling.
Yeah, at the moment, because I know they're building a new brewery. Delicious beer. Do yourself a favor if you can. Give them a support.
Yeah.
Like that, they're some cracking beers. And Lee is known to stepping out, you know, breaking the status quo.
Yeah.
With making adjunct beers, I suppose. You know, the thing that I hate. But he does it well.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, he really plays with it.
He doesn't add adjuncts just for the sake of doing it. He does it because it makes sense for the beer.
Yeah, correct. And he likes that. He likes making big. I remember one day he had death metal playing into a Russian Imperial Stout last year.
He does it every year, doesn't he?
Yeah, the Renegade or something. It's got some real badass name to it. And it was just flat, for 4 weeks straight. Their brew house is pumping death metal just to make this beer angry.
Your neighbours must love that.
Oh, yeah. Well, the neighbour's a gun shop and then a financial planner.
Wow, that's
yeah,
that's
very polarising.
It's quite a lineup.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, do yourself a favour, give them out there. And oh, any others, Russ, that you want to give a notable mention?
The one I do want to give a notable mention from Ether Brewing, who I hold in extremely high regard.
Yep.
And I hold them in high regard now.
Yeah.
Their Respite Barrel Age Breakfast Stout. Yeah. It is just amazing.
That coconut.
What a beer.
Oh. Like,
it's... What is it? It's a breakfast stout. It's got coconut and blueberries in it. It's barrel aged, and like it's always a delicate balance putting coconut in a beer.
Yeah, correct.
It can very easily go tits up, and it usually does. Like it either ends up like a fake kind of coconut taste,
shit stuff,
or it's just tastes like someone's not throwing like a couple of shots of Malibu in your beer or something like that, you know, you kind of get the sickly sweet, but they. It's kind of more a toasted coconut, and it just lingers with you, stays with you. Yeah. It's not sickening. It's just it's a really good level of coconut there.
It bounces out.
Yep, and it's got like the oats in it. It's almost like a big bowl of cereal, literally. Like it is a breakfast stout.
Yeah.
And it tastes like you're eating breakfast, like this big breakfast bowl with like cereal.
Like Bertram Muesli.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's actually really, it's like Bertram Muesli.
With
like,
coffee.
Yeah, and there's you know, a bit of like blueberry stuff coming through, and just and it just lingers, and like... You have a few sips and you just sit there and like just the flavour just stays.
Yeah.
Oh, such a... I'm
I'm glad I tried it. I really am. I'm glad you gave me a can of that because...
I'm so annoyed that I gave you a can of that.
Yeah, I know. But...
That's what I've only got one left now. I was like, oh, damn it, what a fucking give him one.
But I tell you what, since you gave me that can, Ether's share price has gone through the moon.
Yeah.
I'm telling everyone about this beer.
Yeah, and like again, I said I have them high regard. There's a few beers that they've brought out in the last 12 months. I thought, well, these guys are doing something good.
Yeah, here. I'm pretty happy with them.
And like this is just exceptional. Mm. Like, so this is it's up there for my favorite beer this year.
Mm. You know what? I'm probably with you to be honest.
All right, the only one that's close to it is the Ballistic Imperial Brown, which is another fantastic beer. But yeah, this probably is my favorite beer of the year.
Yeah,
and it's going to take something extraordinary to topple it. I think
to knock it off.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, it's funny that like, all the beers I've drank are pretty much the same ones you have this week.
Yeah, no wonder I don't have any left in my fridge.
Yeah, we had that session last weekend, and then I've had a few this week, but there's nothing besides those I want to give a mention to. Probably a bit of a roasting to that Wayward coconut.
Yeah, that was very disappointing. Just to a point, like coconut in the beer, and I was excited, coconut, coffee in a beer.
Yeah.
And it's the this is what can go wrong when you do it. And I can't remember what the beer tastes like. I just know it just didn't taste good.
I had one of the friends of the show from Good Time Crafties. He asked, he goes, what's a good coconut beer? Yeah, straight up Respite, don't drink Wayward.
Since when is that a question? Was there any like frame of reference to that? Or did he just say, hey mate, what's a good coconut beer? What?
Yeah, I knew what he meant.
Imagine you go to the bar of the locals. Yeah. Mate, have you got any good coconut beers? Fuck, what?
What's this gibber on about?
Coconut and beer? What, you want Forrest Gold with a shot of Malibu?
Yeah, that's funny. Imagine that. You taffy bastard. Anyway.
Right.
I reckon it's time for a beer.
Let's have a beer. All right, for show and tell, we're doing things a little bit different this week. Helios recently released their latest rendition of Kronos, which is their annual release of dark beers, Imperial dark beers. And to go along with this one, a few days before it came out, I stumbled across in a bottle shop in Ipswich last year's Kronos.
Yes.
Now
you actually searched far and wide to find this.
And it's funny, I picked it up and it was just, I thought, oh, they haven't released it early, have they? Looked at none. It was last year's. And I'll grab a couple of them. I'll grab one of them, went to the counter and said, oh, mate, it's pretty much past its best before. I'll give it to you for $3. I'm like, $3? You have yourself a bargain. Went back into the shop, picked up another three, and said, well, you can have those for $5. I'm like, yes.
Winning.
Now, I will preface this as well. So this beer has probably been sitting on a warm shelf on the bottle shop for the last 12 months. So it's a very good chance it doesn't taste like what it's supposed to taste.
This is going to be fun, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's either going to be absolutely amazing because it's matured in age.
Could be spiders coming out of it for all we know.
Oh, fuck. But if it's shit, you won't even hear anything about this. It'll just be cut in the segment, and there'll be a new beer added in.
But what this gives us the opportunity to do is compare last year's Kronos with this year's Kronos. We present to you Kronos v. Kronos. Get them to do rock climbing or something. That'd be great.
Bouldering.
Right, so first up, we'll go back into the dark ages of 2020.
Yep.
Oh, that was a year.
Horrible year.
What a year. Yeah. Well, at least we only had like one lockdown.
That's true. But it was a brutal one, though.
It was a brutal one. Right, so the Kronos for last year was Imperial Nitro Coffee Stout. And it is 9.1%. So back of the can says, Kronos is back. The 2020 edition uses a simple grist with complex results, layered coffee from our friends at Black Milk Coffee with additions... Hot side finishing, with additions hot side and post ferment, mid palate biscuit. It's too technical. I'm out. too many words, not enough beer.
Nitro coffee stout.
So nitro coffee stout, 9.1%. Let's crack into it. No spiders, so that's a good start.
Still gas in it. What is it?
Actually, I was probably supposed to shake that up. Wasn't
I? I just go hard, dunk it. Oh. Looking good so far, Russ.
Mm. Now, I've never actually... Have you ever done any cellaring or aging of a beer?
Yeah.
Are you supposed to keep it in a cool environment or just leave it on the shelf?
Yeah, just leave it, I think.
Okay. So this might be all right, then.
I can't see something like this going bad, though.
Probably not. Right. It's not something I've done. The only time I've ever like cellared a beer is when I've had like a spare or an old Great Northern stubby in the back that I refuse to drink.
Yeah.
And someone's brought over.
But it's not like that could get oxidised. It's a black can.
It's a black can, yeah.
I can't see it. I don't think it's been oxidised. We'll find out shortly. But in terms of colour, as you expect with any nitro coffee stout...
It's as black as the Ace of Spades, really.
Yeah. The head is like a light tan colour, which is interesting. Normally it's a bit darker.
Yeah. Okay. It's not like the white head you get on...
like a Guinness.
Like a Guinness or a Snug or something like that. A bit of a sort of, tan sort of go.
Like a flat white.
Yep.
Actually, that smells amazing. What do you reckon? It should be Daniele. You're like the big beer king.
I'm not sure what I'm picking up. I'm not sure if I'm picking up the smell of the glass or the smell of the beer, so.
Coffee's there. The booze is there.
Coffee's really there. Coffee's really strong.
Mm. Yep. And that's too, black milk coffee. That's who you produce the coffee for.
Yep.
It's not smooth, though.
No, it's very...
It's like, bang, bang, bang. You know what I mean?
It's very coarse.
Yeah.
Like it's like the coffee's there, but it's very rough and...
I don't know if that's because it's not fresh, though.
It's highly roasted. Like, that roasty flavour is quite intense. Mm. It almost drowns out the coffee a little bit. Like, it's not coming through as a cohesive sort of, like, you know, flavour package.
If we end up with, like, E. coli or some shit... Some new strand of COVID. It's not bad at all.
I'm just struggling to gauge where it sits
for their like flagship.
And this is it. It comes with this entourage of expectation sort of thing. It's the once a year beer. They make a big deal of it, especially this year's one, which we get to in a tick. But it's a really good nitro beer. I don't think it's anything spectacular. Like the coffee isn't clear enough.
Nah.
You know what I mean? The white lights, the coffee one there, you can't help but taste the coffee.
Yeah. It was like a strong,
really strong coffee. And coffee's a bit like coconut. You've got to be careful how to use it as well. Like it can end up being too bitter. Like, this one isn't too bitter, it's just the roastedness.
Yeah.
But coffee, if you head down the road of a coffee liqueur, you get too much sweetness and sickliness, or if you use a filter coffee or something like that, you end up tasting like ass. Like
that's the taste. It's like the American coffee.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. It's a bit percolated sort of like just cold, bitter coffee.
It smells a bit unremarkable, so I don't know what it smells like.
Yeah. That's a shame because it is coffee and boozy. 8% of my people.
Yeah, It's the nitro and the coarseness of the beer kind of at odds with each other. It's a very smooth, easy drink, but then the flavour's so robust and kind of challenging. It's kind of not suited for one another.
And I think off you can't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure when Charlie was brewing this, he did get up to 12.5%.
Yeah.
And he had to tone it down.
Mm.
Yeah, because it was just hectic. And I knew that was when excise was a lot different back then too. Yep. So they would have paid through the nose for it. So they were trying to tone it down. So that could have might have been something with it too.
Yeah. It sounds like I'm being extraordinarily negative about it. It's
not bad.
It's not bad. It's it's fine. But again, I just expected something of a higher level.
Yeah.
And again, as I said before, it has been sitting on a shelf for 12 months, so it may not be the best.
But that's maybe why it was sitting on a shelf for 12 months.
No, it was a bottle from Ipswich. That's why it was sitting on the shelf for 12 months.
Everyone's like, "Oh, look at that can. That looks expensive."
If I had anything than you, it's like $5 for a 4-pack.
I suppose someone didn't snack it up, eh?
No, we're talking about like Xythos there. This is a third of the price for Xythos, so... No, just kidding.
Comparing apples with apples.
all legit.
Oh, man. This shit will get you fucking messed up.
Yeah, this is a heavyweight beer. It's
like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, you know, when Johnny Depp and the whole mate's trying to walk into the casino. Have a 4-pack of them and try and do that.
Well, this is Xythos Stout. This is, a weird uncle from, from outside of town that comes in. And like, "Oh, what are you doing, you mackerel?"
I've got a bottle of peyote. Yeah. Block it. Do you want to score it?
Yeah, it's
not an 8.
It's definitely not an 8.
No.
I don't even think it's a 7. I think it's probably a 6, I think. Even the ends might be a bit...
It's not under a 5.
It's not. No, it's not. Under a 5, we're talking about something that it's not bad. It's just... Yeah. Not anything memorable.
I just wanted to be better.
Yeah.
Because it's Kronos.
Yes, yeah. It's Kronos and it's Helios. We want it to be better because they are a fantastic brewery.
Yes.
But, yeah, again.
Exactly, yeah.
What's your scoring thoughts?
I'm going 5. Like, they've made better. They've had better Kronos.
Yeah. This is the first one I've had. I haven't had... the very first one was a breakfast stout that you said. Yeah. Yep.
Which was delicious.
Yep. Yeah. What was the one up there, do you know?
Put my Russian Imperial, I think it was.
Ooh,
And then they did a Christmas one that was very similar to it too. It was like a rum barrel porter or some shit.
Yeah,
like which was hectic percent. That was done in a bottle,
mm.
But I believe this is the first time they put it in cans. Was last year?
Okay,
yeah.
I think last year was the first time I really sort of heard of it. It came across my my doorstep. So
yeah, definitely 5.
Yeah,
definitely 5. Not a bad 5, but mind you, if it was fresh, it could be different too.
That's exactly right. Yeah, again, we will stress that it's not fresh.
It's not like we have a.
I don't know how actually the nitro was still pretty good in it. Like
yeah, so it's hypothetically,
very foamy still. Yeah. Yeah, shall we step in the time machine and head forward to this year's Kronos
2028.
Right, round 2, Kronos v Kronos. This year's contender, the young contender coming through from 2021. this year's one is an Imperial American Porter.
It's got high hopes.
Do I bother with this? Fourth iteration, Kronos comes at you as an Imperial American Porter. Constructed in a not too dissimilar fashion to Cyclops, other than a firm but not overly heavy hand of malted chocolate wheat and chocolate barley used at various stages during the mash.
Yeah, right.
Dry hop, blah blah blah. Too much reading.
Yeah. All right. So all they're saying there, it's an IPA with chocolate malts.
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
Righto. Yeah. Okay. Something along those lines. Okay. Cool.
Breaking news from inside the house: the wife's just eating my ice cream. God damn.
Oh, are you kidding?
Divorce coming next week.
Oh shit. I'm too scared to go inside.
Too scared that my voice is keeping them awake.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right, let's crack on. Now, what about up until this year, I actually thought Kronos was the same beer done every year. I didn't realise they changed it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's the only beer that Charlie has a say on, I think. It's got to be dark. It's got to be big. That's you. Band of men. You, like, not saying you're a piss rack, but...
I think you are.
The big beers that you have, far out. Like, it's hard to keep... Like, you think, picture of someone going to the gym, they're building this muscle up, and they're going hard... And they need heavier and heavier weights.
Yeah, exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the same with your palate.
Yeah. I keep you bombarding with big, heavy beers. And
yeah, at some point, you got to correct it.
And the casualty for it is our pale ales.
Yeah.
Unless it's something really good, I just can't do pale ales. Because they don't register for me. So.
That's why I've
come off it and come down. I make sure, like, I love
big beers. It's been exaggerated lately because so many breweries are doing
big beers,
big winter stout beers and dark beers. Whereas used to only be a couple would do it. Everyone else would stick to the you know, the Norsel stuff. And but now it's just the market's got flooded this time around. So
you might need to give your tongue a good lagering.
Get some cider. Some springtime cider.
We'll just melt it out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Get ready for Christmas.
Turn up to an episode with a Tui's Fire Seed cider instead. And get out!
What is that?
It's apple beer.
Again, colour-wise, it's black as anything. So
tan head.
Yep. It's a very similar looking head. Like, considering this is not a nitro, it's still quite a lively head.
I like that.
Yeah. No, I like that's. Yeah.
Definitely another porter part. Like, you know, not that big bang at the end.
It's a very rich sort of porter. Like, it's a real, like, I feel like it's a caramel smoothness to it. Like, there's a little bit of sweet to it. So,
if anyone at home knows what standard deviation is, this is what he's trying to explain. It has this massive hill that's nice and smooth, and then it just.
Yeah, it's getting intense, but then it washes through, and it's all smooth again, and
just out,
yeah.
Flattens out. It's pretty good.
Oh, that's it's much much better balanced than the other Kronos. Like it's far more palatable and it's stronger as well.
Yeah, oh, by 0.4.
By 0.4, but it's still at the high level. So, but this tastes a lot smoother and a lot less. It's not quite as rough on the palate.
Yeah, it doesn't taste boozy. Yes,
and again. Keep running. This is fresh. The other one wasn't. So whether that's whack things out of it, we don't know.
I wonder if someone could actually like verify that for us. If that'll change it. It definitely wasn't oxidized.
No,
100% wasn't. You can tell.
Yeah,
but I assuming like a nitro stout or just a stout in general does age.
Well. Yeah, and that's the whole aging process with beers. Like people do it to evolve the flavour of the beer. Yeah, so exactly. I imagine it would have evolved, but again, my thing is I don't think it's in the ideal environment to probably do that.
Yeah, correct.
So
yeah, back in Dan Murphy's. Whatever it was. that's funny.
I don't need the kitchen sink at the back of someone's pub. What the hell's this?
That is pretty funny.
What I like as well. Is that it's quite unique. There's not too many. There's probably not many beers or any beers I've had that with this flavor profile. It's very different. Again, as much as I love a lot of the Big Bopper dark beers, a lot of them are very samey or hard to identify unless it's something special like the Respite, which is something extraordinary.
Coconut was a standout.
But this is something very very different. Mm. Right? And it's not just a wrong can. it's not just, you know, a porter. It's an American porter, an Imperial American porter. So there's different aspects to it. So
it's like the Hulk Hogan's of porters. It's just big.
Big and American.
On juice. I like the Hulk Hogan intro music, though. They're like, ding, ding.
Poor comedian running wild.
There you go.
It's the best intro music. It's terrible.
In the 80s.
It's not even good 80s music. This is bad music.
Imagine that. Hulk Hogan entry music. It's the smear in a nutshell. I haven't even finished it yet. Fucking hard when there's only two of us.
That's good. You don't split three ways. You know, split in 375ml can three ways. Terrible.
It is pretty appalling, but, you know. These are pretty heavy.
Although it is handy when you have something like, you know, the 14% backers or something like that. there's been a couple of times we had sessions like me and Pity. I think the first time we had the backers one on there, it was like 14% Ab Fabergé and something else was heavy as well. Then I'm thinking, okay, that's 5 standard drinks. That one's 3.5 standard drinks divided by 2. We'll just do the 2 beers today, yeah.
Well, probably one of the main reasons why we've done this today is because it's only just us two, and you know, it's not like we have to go anywhere. Afterwards, it's done. But I don't mind this. You know, in terms of porters, Imperial porters, you got to remember, like with the Imperial, it's that big flavour.
Yeah,
everyone that I know that listens does it, and you have your porter. They've combined the two well together.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's everything's sort of ramped up, but ramped up in a very nice package.
Yeah.
It's very smooth and, yeah, it's, again, you don't really, well, it's intense, but the booziness just isn't really there. It's just an intense flavor.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a bit of sort of, I'm just trying to pick out the flavors. Like a bit chocolatey, a little bit of the dark chocolate bitterness there, but as I said, it's got almost like a caramel kind of like finish to it as well. Slight sort of like, it's almost like a bit of like nuttiness kind of. Mm. Not, I wouldn't say it's just like peanut butter, but there's that like, so, yeah.
Oh, we're trying to get, I'm getting like that bourbon feel. Like a good quality bourbon.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like so much like the, woo, yeah, you know, but just.
What's
like,
that?
Like the, you know, when you take a shot of something.
And, Ric Flair.
Woo! no, it's like the peaty sort of flavour. It's definitely better than the first one, though.
Yeah, it's definitely better than the first one, as a bitch.
Could this keep brewing?
I don't think so.
Like, what is it, this is like 30... No, we would have tasted
it. No, because there's been brewers that had to do like recalls because they keep fermenting in the can. So they stop it fermenting before they get in the can. So otherwise the can puffs up.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that gives it away, eh? So, yeah. Oh, just having a panic attack.
So that happened with... I think Black Ops had a can in one of the Christmas calendars
right,
a couple of years ago.
Come back,
and it was the Christmas morning beer.
Yeah, right.
And they had to like tell everyone, don't drink it. Pull out the number one. Get rid of it. And we'll say, well, fuck, we'll just drink it.
Ain't not going back.
Yeah. I think it's like an Imperial Eggnog Stout. Yeah. And I was like, okay, what do you do? Don't drink it. Tip it out. I was like, yeah, it's not going to happen.
People still getting them too, yeah.
Well, I think social media was just flooded with all these photos of people with the beer going, tastes all right to me.
Fucking lips are falling off their head and shit.
In the background, like the garage, like burnt to a shell, an explosion. Nothing but a crater behind them. Oh, at least the beer's all right.
Yeah, they look like they've had a stroke and half their face is like melting.
It's fucking brilliant, this one.
That's funny as.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a really nice beer.
What are you going to rate it?
It's not a 10.
Definitely not.
Probably close to an 8. Like, I think back, I gave a 9 recently. I've been a bit harsher, harder to get. Because the Backers I gave a 9, so it's not a 9. The Backers was better.
Backers is better.
Yeah.
Actually, what was it? Was it put a beer up today from Backers? And it looked interesting.
Yes. Yeah, it's Salted Caramel Porter, so.
I'm like, you dirty prick. You
know what I mean? So, is it an 8? I don't know. I think. The problem is, I gave that smoked lager from Zalant an 8.
Yeah.
And I think I criminally underrated that one.
Yeah, I felt a bit like that too. After we listened to it.
Because after we recorded the episode, for the 2 weeks after, of all the beers we tried on the New Zealand episode, in fact, if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to, what do I call the episode?
Land of the Long Cloud?
Bears of the Long White Cloud.
Yeah,
it's right. A New Zealand beer episode, right? The more I think about all the beers we had out there, the one that kept coming back to me was the smoked lager. Like, yeah. Wow, that was an amazing beer.
It was.
And I gave it an 8. It was like, oh, okay, that probably deserved more.
Yeah, I want you to let that sink in, guys, at home. It was a smoked lager.
Yeah.
You're not going to repeat lager. And it was a tip-top beer.
Yeah, it was really good. And I think probably should have been higher mark. Anyway.
Anyway.
So that's why I'll probably give it an 8.
Ooh. You know what? Yeah, I'm going to stick to a 7. Nah, you know, it's with the Hulk Hogan music. Definitely, it's going to be an 8. It's going to be an 8.
It's better than it's a really good beer, and I think
transitions well.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's very smooth. It's really well balanced, and it's tasty. Yeah. It's something that is different, and I will remember this one long. Or even for lots longer than I remember the other one. So
the other one, I'm trying to burn that out of my memory. To be honest, it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't bad. It was just meh.
But this one, the 2021's clearly better.
Yeah,
I think everyone's sort of jumped on it too. Like all the reviews that I've seen out with some of the guys around Australia.
Yeah,
they're really talking it up too. So
I like it. I really do like it. I think it's. I've had a similar thing with red IPAs lately. Is that there's so many good ones at the moment. Like it's a hard market to move up. And again, 12 months ago, this would have been right up as a 9 or a 10 probably for me.
Yeah.
But I've had so many Big really good ones, yeah. Really good, like dark beers.
If this came out a month ago, you probably would have gave it a 9.
Yeah, a couple months ago, probably, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, I just noticed the last month you've dialed it. Fucking dial to 11. You know what I mean?
Literally 11%, yes.
We were looking in your fridge last week going, yeah, fuck. You know what I mean? There's mine.
Oh, this one's a bit sessionable. It's only 8%.
I'm pulling out my Brouhaha milk stout at 4.5 with your fucking 12%.
What's the something a bit lighter on the palate last night? The only thing I could have in my fridge was a Black Hop Super Hornet. Which was 8.7%. Well, there was a time when there was an exceptionally strong beer. Now it's a session beer for me. I've got a problem, Chris.
Your eyes are yellow. Yeah, no, I'm definitely a 7.
Yeah.
Definitely a 7.
I thought you might change it to an 8.
No, it was an 8. Yeah, Hulk Hogan has done it. Yeah, I've got a pair. And the thing is, I've got... It's a bit biased.
Hulk Hogan music is that bad, I'll nearly downgrade it to a 7.
It is a bit biased too because I've got a lot of respect for Scotty and Adzi and Charlie and they've done the hard yards though.
Like they have.
They had to plough through some shit.
What I like though is that they've stayed the course. They're a couple of deviations to, you know, what's cool and what's hip. Like they had the Hazy Pale, blah blah blah.
The Christmas one. Yeah.
Oh no, the EOS, whatever it was.
Oh, that's right.
Like that was
okay.
Yeah, it was all right, but you know they just did that to try and you know bump up some sales. They do it, no worries.
Yeah,
but for the most part, they stick the course with the traditional style beers.
Yeah,
and this is what an American IPA is. This is what this beer is.
Dance, yeah.
No fancy frills. They're not throwing in a carton of strawberries and just for the shits and giggles. Where they're just keeping it true. And the beer world was going through the adjunct and the hazy and the fruity and the brute massive milkshake stuff. In the last 6 to 7 months, it's all come back around to what Helios are doing.
Yeah.
And they've just stayed the course. It's like, you know, they're like the 1970s. Eventually, it becomes cooler once again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, it's good to see they're starting to get the recognition they deserve.
Yeah.
Especially like around, for those not in Brisbane, like they are brewed in Yorongpilly.
Yeah, Yorongpilly.
In the same sort of neighbouring suburbs, you got Helios, Slipstream, Ballistic. That's where those three started.
Massive hit. Yeah, all you need is Black Hops and it's a holy
trinity. They all started about the same time, around about the same area. Helios is kind of the one that got left behind.
Yeah.
But again, they've just stuck to what they do.
Yeah, they didn't jump on the train.
They haven't jumped. Both Slipstream and Ballistic are now owned by, or partly owned, or invested from Mighty Craft. So they got that bit of money behind them pushing it through. And they're doing similar sort of things now.
Yeah.
Whereas Helios has just stuck to what they do. And the fact that they are getting more recognised and appreciated is really good.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to go in there one day after this lockdown shit and just get drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, give them some love.
Absolutely. Support
them, get shit-faced, steal the mic off the fucking band dude and sing a bit of Bon Jovi or something fucking mental.
Yeah, and it's definitely changed. Like I think Adzi's changed things up since
he's got some energy, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it's good. He needs it.
I love their socials.
Well, like, he's the sort of guy, if he's working for White Lice, White Lice would be getting some better recognition around the place. And they'd actually have someone that's friendly behind the bar, maybe. Oh,
well, you couldn't brew enough beer if they had Adzi there. they might with their new joint. Yeah, who knows? But, we've got to get in there one day. Actually, I went to Ballistic today.
Mm.
And I got the Sleep When You're Dead.
Yep.
IPA.
Mm-hmm.
You reckon we've got time to sneak that in or no?
Well, we can slip it in, yeah.
Why not? Yeah. So, snuck over to Ballistic.
Yep.
For our bonus beer, the Juicy Double IPA, Sleep When You're Dead. I'll tell you now, this is probably my favourite range at Ballistic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's the most interesting one. Yeah. They do a single hop series. I'm kind of over it.
Yeah.
It's all the same. Like, they... There's one that it's like a push that has been like a hop burst or fruit burst one there recently. It wasn't. Again, my palate's like bombarded with every flavour, so it could be full of like pop rocks. I wouldn't even notice it.
Well, I think I've got a bit of like a soft spot for this because my first Ballistic beer, besides the Oaked XBA, because like, you could pick it up anywhere, but my first visit to their Salisbury brewery, I went in and... Anyone that's been there, it's a massive joint.
Yep.
Huge. But it wasn't just going in there and your normal
run-of-the-mill brewery type feel.
Yeah.
Like, oh, how you going? Yeah, not bad. What would you like? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, what's that going to do? Nothing like that.
No.
This kid would have been, I reckon, 18, 19,
mm-hmm.
right? I know a bit about beer. Not everything.
Yep.
But you know what I mean? No, a little bit. Been around it for forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I went up the bar and this guy goes, there you go, guys. And I was with me and another mate. I said, yeah, yeah, not bad. He goes, is it your first time here? I said, hey, can you tell? And he goes, just by the way he's walked in.
Mm.
Well, yeah, it is. And he goes, all right, well, let me run you through some stuff. What do you normally drink? And I said, oh,
that's great.
Anything.
That's great.
And then he just teed it out. Then he knew that we had half a brain.
Yep.
So he started getting into IBUs and ABVs, standard drinks, you know what I mean? And process. And I'm just going, yeah, it just blew me away.
Yep.
I'm like, sold. Anyway, first one, Sleep When I Dead IPA.
Yep.
First beer that I ever had there. Like on tap.
Yep.
Just went, holy shit, bought a growler straight there. Shut up, take my money.
It's see that experiment, that's something I miss. I used to work down pub down the road, and there'd be Friday nights, I was stopping on the way home.
Yeah.
And that was the experience. Like they were passionate about the beer, they love the beer. You walk in there, I got to know a couple of guys, and you know, they sort me out with stuff, and you got chatting with them, talk about beers, and it's just a really friendly environment. And they managed to encapsulate a real community feel in the place as well.
Yeah, it was.
Like you go in there, and it wasn't just beer lovers. It wasn't beer snobs and stuff, you know, wanting to know about IBUs and stuff.
Yeah.
There's people bringing their family down, bringing their dogs down.
Kids running on the grass.
Kids running around the grass Scooters. And that and having a good time. Yeah. It was like, man, this is...
In a car park.
Yeah.
Where most parents are losing their mind because the kids are getting run over.
They got bollards up, it's fine.
But you know what I mean? Like, everyone's so relaxed.
Exactly. It's just such a good feel. And it's something that's missing from a lot. Don't get me wrong. I love the Springfield location. Really nice... brewery,
it's not the same.
Brewery restaurant.
Yeah, it's different.
It's different. Doesn't have the same community feel because, it's Ballistic isn't born in Springfield. It's born in Salt Spring. That's where its heart is, and the brewery is just full of heart. It's a really good experience there. And
it's hard to implement a culture, isn't it?
It really is, and it's
being brewers implementing cultures.
I'll put a rim shot in there. It'll be fine, be seamless.
Be seamless.
Yeah. But and it's something like. I had a sly dig at like White Lies before because you walk into White Lies and you don't get that. You don't get the passion with the guys, which is a real shame because they should be passionate about the beer because it's really good beer. Warren had the same experience a little while back.
Yeah.
He went in there, loved the beer, but the service was awful.
Yeah, exactly. But it's different like because they know me. So when I walk in, I'm like a Mick Jagger.
Well, the service when I went there with you the first time was great because they didn't really charge it for beers. So
yeah, that too.
Let's be honest, on Goodfellas, when they walk through the kitchen, go through the side, and walk out to the front table, and get and eat for free, they're not complaining about the service.
No, not at all. You remember like when you first started working in a bar though.
Hmm.
There was a lot of competition. You couldn't, if you got the shits with this joint, you could literally go next door around the corner and get the same product.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Service was the thing that made the place better.
Yeah.
Like, really, at the end of the day. So, if you had a good sort behind the bar and a fin charismatic and manager, it generally ended up having a good vibe and it was a good joint.
Yep.
Isn't that right? No, you look at the walkabout overseas.
Hmm.
That's all it is. Big vibe. Let's put a bunch of Aussies, one Kiwi.
Token Kiwi.
Token Kiwi.
Problem with being a token Kiwi. In an Aussie pub.
Yeah.
When they need someone to wear the kangaroo costume for marketing purposes, who's wearing it, don't you?
Unlucky, man. It would have stunk too.
It normally wouldn't be an issue because England's cold as balls, basically.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah.
I got the hottest day I ever had in England, in Leicester. It was like 32 degrees. It was never 32 degrees there. And here's me in this goddamn kangaroo costume walk around the middle of Leicester going, come to the walkabout, come to the walkabout.
It's like some great deity had just opened up and said, let's melt this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've angered the gods. Burn, bitch, burn. Anyway, the beer.
So, Sleep When You're Dead, Juicy Double IPA. Juicy Double IPA is a dripping with grapefruit and coupled with subdued bitterness to create a soft mouthful that lends to its juicy nature.
Mm.
It's not full chonk, okay?
Full chonk?
Full chonk.
Okay.
I like that.
Yep.
It's a bit humanized, you know what I mean? Like it's, yeah. But rather a contemporary spin on the ever-evolving face of IPAs. 100% stored cold and a solid within 8 weeks of production. For dead by date, see bottom of can.
Does it actually say dead by?
Yeah, dead by date.
Yeah, nice. I like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Dead by.
The whole, like, the branding and the aesthetic they got to the Sleeping Dead range is just phenomenal. I love it.
It's funny, this is actually fucked by the end of next month.
Yeah. It's got 8 weeks, then it's done.
Done.
Yeah.
Sleeping Dead.
If there's any left, rather they pull it, get rid of it.
Hmm.
We'll probably sell it to something else.
IBU 45s for an IPA. Okay, that's not too bad.
When I saw this was a juicy double IPA, I thought it was going to be like a big old hazy.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, eh? That's
what we thought. But then online, on their marketing said, this is not a hazy, it's not that. Because they know that all the Karens on the internet are going, this beer isn't hazy enough. Yeah. Dear brewer, you don't know what a juicy IPA is.
If it's not hazy, it's not craft beer.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
That's a big generation. Oh, yeah. Start listening to Pouring Old Men. We'll tell you about craft beer. All right. Yeah, it's a malt. This is good. They've got an actual whole rundown on it.
Yep.
So malt, ale, oats, light crystal, wheat, and chit. That's kind of cool. Hops, Talus, Centennial, Idaho 7. Oh, Petey's favourite.
Uh-huh.
Pacifica and Warrior.
He loves that band. I think it's South Korean. I think BTS, Idaho 7, they're the big ones out of South Korea.
Yeah. All right, I'm pretty happy about this. Let's do it.
Let's crack him. Can't you have a problem? Crack that, mate.
Oh, man, that was a good one. Oh, it smells good. Oh, look at that.
Good. Oh, that's kind of a golden sort of colour.
It's the darker shades of an ale.
No, there's a bit of haze to it. Well, it's not hazy. It's just a cloudiness to it. Either that, or you just didn't clean the glasses properly.
I'm going with the glasses. Good frothy head, look.
Yeah.
Like, look at that. Light frothy.
Yeah, so there's real grapefruit citrusiness going through on the aroma.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good.
That cuts well.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just...
Maybe it's because we had those big ones. That's probably why it's...
Well, it's perfect after that then. Like, because we light up all the palate with, like, you know, with these like salt and pepper nuts and big, strong, stout beers. And you have this and like it's so citrusy and sharp. It just comes straight through and just clears all away. Clears your palate. Boom. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
I think this one needs some intro music. We've got the perfect song for it. You ready? Ready?
That's shit.
That is terrible.
That's terrible.
Macho Man Randy Savage. That was shit.
You're going to get me in trouble again, mate. We got some wrestling fans out there, and every time we bring up wrestling, mate, I'll say how shit it is and how much I don't like it. And, you know, I get emails about this stuff. Oh, speaking of which, actually, I did communication over the wireless. For my good friend Brucha Libre over in WA.
Oh, yeah, what's going on?
Last episode, we were talking about the pronunciation of ghosts or ghosts.
Oh, yes.
He sent me a correction.
Yes.
Well, actually, sorry, sent you a correction.
Good.
I nailed it.
Oh, right.
Gosa.
Oh, wow.
There you go. And he also said that Innate Brewing, who did that Gosa beer, do some really cool stuff. Apparently, really good brewery.
You were the one that smoked them.
Yeah, I know, I smoked them. But I do like the fact that it was something bold, something different. So I wanted to look and see what else they're doing.
I like that margarita thing.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I just felt like a margarita.
Well, yeah, I just thought I mentioned that. Yeah, so go, sir.
Sleep when you're dead. I don't know. What do you reckon?
That's really good.
Yeah, this is great.
This is really good. It's just...
You know, shame. This is going to be beer of the day.
You reckon?
Mm. Actually, no. Nah. Another one had a Hulk Hogan music.
You can't take the music as part of it. If I did that with the tunes you just played, I'd give it a 6, but no. But no, it's got that lovely, very, very fleshy, orangey and grapefruity kind of taste there. Like, you know, that citrus sharpness. Like, it's not a hazy.
Nope.
Even though there is some haze there, but it's not what it's designed to do. It's very smooth. What's the strength in that one?
8%.
8%. Yeah. Nice and smooth.
It's a stonker. No, what's the word they use? Gronker.
Donk.
Chonk.
Donk sounds like it. If they put their donk in it, we'd be worried.
You know what? Rather contemporary spin on the ever-evolving face of the IPA. Is it a spin?
Well, from what I've seen, they blended the elements of a West Coast and a Nipah, and they'll use bits and of the process. So,
yeah, okay. I see what they've done there.
Yeah, so bringing a bit more sort of fruitiness to West Coast, basically, I think.
More than you, they've nailed every degree of IPAs known in the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice. I fucking love it.
Yeah. No, that's really nice.
When was the last time you had a double IPA?
I've had it last night.
Did you have one last night?
Yeah, well, two nights ago, the Black Ops Super won it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was my light beer in the fridge.
Oh, comparison to that, where do you put it?
It's similar.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's different flavour profile, but similar sort of enjoyment level.
Yeah, right.
Which probably because I probably don't appreciate the Super Wonder Must now because I've had it a few times.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's a good go-to strong IPA, whereas I'm not sure.
Super Wonder's generic though, yeah. 8.6.
Yeah, but it's generic, but then it's generic because it kind of set the standard, set the scene.
Yeah, right.
Like, how many mass-produced double IPAs were on the market before Super Hornet came along?
Good question. Yeah, good question.
Because that was at a time, that was at a time where you put an 8% beer on the market and people go, whoa, just calm down. Whereas now it's just like, eh.
They like sort of revolutionised that, didn't they?
Yeah. They kind of normalised the booze level on what beer is.
Do we pay them homage for that? Yeah, mate.
It's
be the front row.
It still stands up. Like, it's still a really good beer. It's still a really enjoyable beer.
I haven't had one for years.
Hmm?
Probably not years.
Should revisit it, mate.
Yeah. Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You can nearly get them from everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that better than the Zeus from Helios.
It's not a 10.
No, it's not a 10.
Not a 10. It's not a 9.
Not a 9.
I don't think it's quite an 8.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But it's not a 6.
Yeah, so I'll probably put it through as a 7.
7.
Yeah, it's still so really, really good. Really clean.
Great score.
Really refreshing. The bottom of the glass, like that citrusness really comes through hard at you as well. It's quite good.
That's bloody good.
There are going to be people walking into this expecting this full haze bomb, juice boy kind of thing. It's juicy, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to handle the backlash.
Oh, that's why they put the thing up. I think they've gone the front foot saying, hey, it's not a hazy.
Who reads that shit, though?
Me. But yeah, the Karens of the world, they won't. They'll just start sending letters to the brewery.
You don't know how to make a hazy IPA.
I remember someone posted that on the Brisbane Beer Barons once. Oh, he got roasted. He wrote, oh, this is not a hazy, this is not hazy enough. He said, I've sent a letter to the brewery saying, you don't know how to make. I was like, what the hell are you going on about, mate?
Yeah, wow.
I forget what beer it was, but at no point did the can say it was a hazy. It was just an IPA or something like that. He was not a proper hazy. He's like, mate, shut up.
Yeah, you're a twat.
All right, so what are you giving this one?
7.
7. I'm giving it a pretty good 7 as well.
Yeah, it's a solid 7.
Yeah, very enjoyable. I like it. That's all we have time for on this episode of The Pouring Old Man. I've been Russell.
I'm Chris.
You've been awesome. Catch you next time.
I can feel my cheeks already.
Sorry.
I must have moved the Jack's crackers.